Okay, we're back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm John Ryan, and I'm here today with Otto Loos. And we're having a tremendous conversation with Michelle Grybko from North Shore in reference to stroke. And Otto, just at the break, was going over the website that she has on in reference to learning risk factors and how to reduce it, etc., and testing and stuff. So why don't you go back, Otto, to your questions?
Well, I went through it, and we'll let Michelle elaborate a little bit more, but it talks about, it summarizes where you stack up. Are you a high risk, a moderate risk, or a low risk? And then it talks about risk factors you can change and those you can't change. Maybe you could go on to that a little bit, you know.
Right. There are certain risk factors that we can't change. Age is one of them. As we get older, we are more prone to being predisposed to having a stroke. So that we can't change. And we do want to live longer. And so that's something that is not modifiable. We can't change that. We also can't change any history. If we had a stroke in the past or a transischemic stroke, which is a TIA, those things that we've done in our health history, we can't change that. That's in the past. That's what it is. Any familial history of stroke or any type of clotting, hereditary clotting diagnoses, we can't change that as well. But the things that we can change and we can be very proactive is modifying our blood pressure, making sure our blood pressure is under control, making sure our cholesterol is within healthy limits, not smoking, getting active, getting yourself out there and not being sedentary, and some of the other things, modifying and don't drink excessively. The American Heart Association recommends that women are allowed to have 4 ounces of wine a day, and for men, no more than 2 4-ounce glasses of alcohol a day. But if you haven't started drinking, it is not recommended that you start. And things of that nature. Those are the modifiable things that you can change and reduce your risk for having a stroke.
One of the things that I think most people have as a problem, whether they know it or not, is procrastination.
Yeah.
And I believe that a lot of people know about all these risk factors, but then how do you do something about it? How do you get yourself off the dime and move and make sure you do something about, like I know people who they took blood pressure medicine and then they said, well, my blood pressure is under control now. I really don't have to, you know, the doctor told me I can stop. I don't know if the doctor really told them that they can stop.
Right.
But they decided to be the doctor and said, I can stop because my blood pressure is under control now. I don't think it's like a cold that doesn't just go away because of medication. You have any suggestions for how do you get motivated? How do you, you know?
Actually, I'm just going to jump in there with one thing, and I want Michelle to answer that. And here's a good time to throw in the town of North Hempstead's 311 number. The town of North Hempstead has so many programs for activity, for exercise. I'm still not saying you're going to go just because you found out, but it is a place where if you turn around and say, I really don't feel like going for a walk, I don't feel like going to Zumba or aerobics or any of these things, the town has so many of these at different levels too, beginner, advanced, etc., that people do. They owe it to themselves. Call 311 and give one of those classes a shot. You might meet somebody and say, guess what, I'll meet you next week again. That's, you know, just a thought when what I was saying. But ahead, Michelle.
No, that's absolutely a good point, John, is partnering with somebody, reaching out to somebody else and having them come with you for a walk or going to one of those activities or even taking somebody with you to the doctors, somebody that you trust that can sit there. And when the doctor is talking to you, can also listen and hear what the doctor has to say, because a lot of times people do hear what they want to hear and they don't hear what was said. And I, even for myself, having my husband with me when I go to the doctor and they're talking to me makes a big difference, because I'll leave the office and I'll say, he said this, right? And he said, no, we have to do this, that, and the other thing. And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Most people, when they go to the physician, they only hear about 10% what is said. And because you're so anxious and it is something new, and sometimes the doctors don't always use terminology that you understand, And you might be afraid to ask, so you need to speak up and ask the doctor if you don't understand what they're talking about. But having a partner with you can get you up and motivated. So if you take somebody with you to the doctor and you say, well, I don't think I need that blood pressure medication. Mm-hmm. Remember, your partner might say, yeah, you do. But remember, they told you if you exercise, they'll monitor your blood pressure and maybe we'll reduce the dose of the blood pressure medication. That might be it.
And there's nothing wrong with having paper and pencil with you when you're at the doctor's office either to take notes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I also had in one of the other doctor's offices that I worked at, I had a couple who came in with a recorder. And the doctor was aware of it, and everything that he said, they recorded it. So it helped them, and it also, from what the wife told me, it was the kids that asked what was said at the doctor. So it made it clear for the children as well what was said.
It's not a bad idea, actually. Mm-hmm.
And it's important. I know Otto has an iPhone, and a lot of people have iPhones. This is an interesting thing. About 3 or 4 months ago, somebody put a pedometer, I think it was, how do you say it, on my phone. And so I put down 7,000 steps a day is what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because some days I do 10,000 and it wasn't a strenuous day.
No.
Because I'm running around. And then I look, some days I do 500 and 600. That's it. Literally, get in my car, go to work. Yeah. I'm at my desk, which I don't have that many days like that, but I do have them. And then go to here, the next meeting, and I'm home at 7 or 8, 9, 10, whatever it is. Go to a dinner, go to a lunch. I was running all over the place, so it seemed.
How many steps does it take to walk a mile?
I have no idea.
Me either.
It's probably 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is it? 5,000.
5,000 steps a mile.
It'd okay, so like 10,000 steps is a 2 mile day, which is not terrible. Right. But it just shows how you can easily do nothing in the course of a day, which is the point that you do, whether it's a partner or somebody, say, you know, a couple of rounds, a couple of walks around the block or something, just locally.
And even parking away, if you're not need that handicapped place. Parking farther away and walking to the store.
Right, that's true.
It really, every little step counts. If you're capable, walking up the stairs instead of taking an escalator or an elevator. All those little things, just one flight might make a big difference.
Park on the other end of this parking lot.
Oh, and there's your 10,000 miles, 10,000 steps.
You know, we've been talking about prevention. What about the people who might be out here listening who either they already had a stroke or they have a family member who had a stroke? Is there anything new out there to help their quality of life get a little bit better?
They getting to rehab quicker. And that's what the function of our hospital is, and what they're looking at as well is stabilizing the person in the hospital in the acute phase. And then once they're stabilized, getting them to the rehab facility. Quickly, because the rehab facility can get them up and moving quickly and more efficiently than being in the acute setting. And they have done quite a bit in therapies and repetitiveness. They're using a lot of different techniques depending on the type of stroke and disability that you have.
Michelle, is rehab in-house, or you can be an outpatient, or you're living there?
There are different types of rehabilitation centers. There's an acute rehabilitation center, which is basically a hospital, but it's very structured, and it gets you up and moving quickly. But you have to be capable of doing that and being able to sustain about, I think it's about 8 hours a day.
Okay.
You have subacute facilities where you'll still get the rehab, but it's not as aggressive as the acute setting. You might be changed depending on how your recovery is. You might change from one place to another. And there's also a lot of what they're also finding that people do better if they're capable of going home safely and having their physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy in their home. And that's where a lot of Medicare and Medicaid is also looking at as well, getting a lot of those treatments in the home, because they find that people do a lot better when they're in their own environment.
Which is the goal of Project Independence.
Yes.
Exactly. Right, no, it's the truth.
Make people or help people stay in their own home as long as possible.
Yes, safely.
Safely.
Yeah. People are so much more comfortable at home. There's no question. Anybody, you're sick, you know, no matter what it is, you want to get home. It's a comforting environment. So I think people would. They'd respond quicker and get better sooner.
So there might be some modifications that you might need.
Right, of course.
I mean, if you have a home where you have, say, throw rugs or anything like that, that might need to be might not be able to have those. Railings might need to be put in. Depending on what their needs are, you might need some modifications in that home.
But the sooner that happens, the better, I would assume.
That is the goal.
Yeah, like my friend who had the heart attack, he wound up with a 95% blockage and a 90% blockage and a 50% blockage. The 50% they're handling with medication, and they gave him stents. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, he was allowed to play golf. Walking.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
He went, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing, really.
It's they find that people, if you, I mean, I don't want to say my age, but when I first started nursing, I mean, even coming in to have an appendectomy, you know, having your appendix taken out, you were there for a week. That is an outpatient, or it can be done within a day and you're out the next day. So, you know, they're finding that getting people up and moving and getting them around is much more important, because when you sit, you have the pooling of your blood.
Right.
You can get a clot. And again, that can move from your legs up to your lungs, to your heart, to your brain.
Well, I'm involved in the Great Neck Social Center, and you see it, that the men and women who come in, and some of them are in their 90s, but they get up every day and they come into the center and they'll say, John, I want to get here at 10. I got here at 11:30 today. That's fine. They got here.
Yes.
And they go around for an hour or two. When you start seeing the people not coming, then it's very easy to get into that, you know, I'm staying in the chair and then everything starts breaking down. It's almost self-fulfilling at that point, which is terrible. You got to get up and
gotta keep
do something. Yeah.
Well, you get into a rut.
A rut,
and
that's
I've
perfect.
I've used this statement once before on here, and that is that I have theory that it takes as long to do something as it does to do nothing.
Right,
so
I've heard you say
well
that.
You might as well do something as opposed to doing nothing.
Right.
You know.
And people, you know, can volunteer their time and share their wisdom with a lot of people. So just even getting up and even talking to young children, they really like to hear the stories.
No, and that's the one, the thing which I said earlier in reference to Project Independence. The opportunities out here for seniors, okay, and a stroke is not only for a senior, though.
No. Nope.
You could be 40. I'm sure you could be 30 and have a stroke, depending
yes.
on the various conditions. But we're talking more for seniors at this point in time, that between exercise and education and rehab and everything, the town offers so many things. It's a 311 call to try to get in touch with some of them. I mean, Michelle is here because of Project Independence. There's
yes.
no question about it.
Right.
So you'll have access to someone like Michelle at times.
Yes.
Or through the hospital itself.
You got to move.
No, at the end of it, that's really it. I agree with you. And it's always, I know, I'm getting a sign. We got to wrap this one up. Michelle, thank you so much for coming.
And, thank you for having me.
You know, the important thing we're trying to leave people with today is you know your own body. Pay attention to simple signs. If you have a question, obviously the first call is your doctor. More of an emergency, it's 911. And just to stay active, it's 311. So you have three steps you could take to be your own advocate for your own health.
Perfect.
Michelle, thank you very much. Have a great weekend, and we'll
thank
be right
you.
Back.
All right.